Thank you, Ivan, and thank you for all of you for making it back here on time to get started. I liked what Cindy Shaw had to say the other day, that she submitted her abstract with great hope, and that's kind of where I am at the moment. I have lots of data, but you're not going to get to see most of that today, because I haven't really spent much time with it. We've been concerned about base cation depletion, particularly calcium and magnesium depletion from soils in hardwood forests in the central Appalachians as a result of acidic deposition. We've been concerned about it for a while, so we've designed an experiment, a couple of experiments actually, to look at this question. And this is our long-term productivity study, and we are affiliated with the LTSP. We have a slightly different set of treatments, so not all of this will look familiar. These are the three objectives for our long-term soil productivity study, and I'm going to be talking mostly today about this second one, or begin addressing the second one, which is looking at the response to base cation removal. And we know that we can remove base cations from the soil because we have on the Furneaux and at Bear Brook, we have some watershed acidification studies, and these are data from the Furneaux watershed acidification where we've been adding ammonium sulfate fertilizer at twice the ambient throughfall rates of nitrogen and sulfur deposition for 20 years. And these are soil solution data, calcium concentrations for collected with zero tension lysimeters below these three layers. And what we see is mobilization and depletion of calcium in particular as a result of the acidification treatment. So how do we propose to remove calcium and magnesium? Well, you could do it, just dig a hole with a little shovel and it would take a while. But what we proposed to do in this study was to, we used whole tree harvesting plus removing all the dead wood, the down dead wood on the site. And we've been adding ammonium sulfate fertilizer 3 times per year, again, at the same rate, 35 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year and about 40 kilograms of sulfur per hectare per year. So we removed all the above-ground pools, or most of the above-ground pools of calcium and magnesium, and then we're trying to leach it out. We are leaching it out using the ammonium sulfate fertilizer. There is an additional treatment in our LTSP study in that we're adding back calcium and magnesium via dolomitic limestone, and this is at the rate, twice the rate that calcium and magnesium are coming out of our long-term reference watershed. So there are two locations that we have in this study, two experiments, the Fork Mountain, which is located on the Furneaux Experimental Forest, and we have 4 blocks of 4 treatments. These are plot-based studies, these are not watersheds. On Middle Mountain, we have 4 blocks of 5 treatments, and there's an uncut control. There's a whole tree only where we just removed everything above ground. There's a whole tree harvest plus the ammonium sulfate fertilizer additions. And then the whole tree plus the fertilizer plus the lime treatment. And then the last one on the Middle Mountain is we did the whole tree harvested and just added the liming treatment. The two locations are different forest types and they're also slightly different in elevation. Most of what I'm going to be talking about today comes from Fork Mountain, but I have a little bit of the Middle Mountain data. The soils are similar. They're both in septosols, relatively shallow, poorly developed, but deeper than at least on Middle Mountain, deeper than we originally expected. And this the Middle Mountain soil profile, we actually excavated that in the middle of a snowstorm. So, and Jim Berger was there, and Lucian Zelazny to help with excavating that one. Mostly, they provided moral support. We had technicians digging the pits, I have to confess. Okay, so these data are soil pH in water, and this is just the upper horizon, measured on the Fork Mountain LTSP site, and there are 10 years, measurements taken 10 years apart. So 1996 is the pretreatment data, 2006 was the 10-year data. And you don't see significant changes with over time or really significant changes or significant differences among the treatments. And we did analyze, and these treatment effects are not statistically significant for Fork Mountain. But if we look at the Middle Mountain soil pH data, again, this is the A horizon, and that was actually, that study was started a year later because we just couldn't do it all in 1 year, or do both sites in 1 year. You see that the liming, the lime-only treatment, which is right here, there was a significant effect on soil pH. Soil pH increased significantly as a result of whole tree harvesting plus the lime, and that's the only treatment where these differences are significant. You'll also notice that soil pHs are quite a bit, ambient or pretreatment soil pHs are quite a bit lower on the Middle Mountain site compared to the Fork Mountain site. Looking at the effects by various nutrients in the soil nutrients, these are exchangeable magnesium levels by horizon and treatment. This is from the Fork Mountain site, and this is the only one of the chemical variables that I've looked at so far where we see a significant treatment effect. And so soil magnesium is significantly higher in the A and the B horizon as a result of the whole tree plus liming treatment. And again, this one we've also added the fertilizer, so it's whole tree plus fertilizer plus lime. And you can see we've significantly increased the soil magnesium levels, but they're fairly low to begin with. There was no change in soil calcium, even though we've been adding soil calcium for 10 years as well. And the fertilizer treatments had no significant effect at 10 years on the soil chemistry. We did look at total nitrogen in the A horizon, and while it appears to be increasing over time, there are no significant differences among treatments, or for that matter, really among years. So we know we're adding ammonium or nitrogen and sulfur, but we're not seeing significant increases in the soil levels yet. So far, the liming treatment seems to be the only detectable treatment effect so far. And it's interesting that it's magnesium and not calcium. There's a great deal of concern about calcium depletion in particular. But talking with Scott Bailey the other day, he assured me that there are places where magnesium is more important on the Allegheny Plateau for some species of trees. And we do know that we've got very low levels of magnesium, so adding a little bit of magnesium consistently over the last 10 years has made a difference in the magnesium pools, which it has not made with calcium. We do see a little bit of effect on pH. Acidity is not affected, and I have a whole bunch of other data that I haven't spent much time with yet. We were sort of surprised that we haven't really seen this base cation depletion. We haven't seen any evidence of the fertilizer effect yet. Because on the acidification study, we saw this base cation depletion fairly obviously after 10 years, or within the first 10 years. The big difference between the LTSP study and the watershed acidification study is the whole tree harvesting. So while we removed all the above ground wood, dead and alive, we didn't remove the forest floor, or at least we didn't purposely remove the forest floor. And so it could be that we're actually adding back that short-term pulse of nutrients that somebody demonstrated this morning. And so we're not actually we have not yet created our depletion effect yet, or we're not seeing that yet. The other thing that we're dealing with plot-based studies, even though we did a good job of blocking our plots setting our plots are good size, we have a lot of spatial variability, which is no surprise to anyone here. We're finding we also have some temporal variability that we're not quite sure about, or not sure how to interpret. There are vegetation differences between the two sites. And then finally, deer are one of those impacts that we don't often think about. There's a significant history of herbivory on the Middle Mountain site and continuing herbivory by white-tailed deer. And we know that deer can, from what little is in the literature, we know that they can actually increase the rate of nitrogen cycling. And so we're going to be looking into that, trying to deal with all these variability. So you'll hear a little bit more later in the session about some of these other data, but there's no treatment effects on total above-ground biomass at 10 years. This is on the Fork Mountain site. The herb layer biomass, we see some differences, but mostly it's compared to the control plots. The herb layer is still recovering from whole tree harvesting. So we had a significant increase in vegetation species richness immediately after the harvesting treatment. It's declined now, but we don't see significant differences in species richness. We're going to continue to follow these over the course of the experiment. I'm hoping to hand this off to someone in about 30 years, hopefully before then, actually. You know, sometimes people retire and you think, oh, I'm ready to retire, but then you think, no, I can't. Anyway, and I may never, but anyway, we're continuing to work on these. So the next steps, I have a lot of data that need to be analyzed, and I'm just astounded at how little I've actually gotten done. So we're going to take a good long look at the rest of the data. We have soil solution data. We've got suction lysimeters at 18 inches, which is just below the root rooting zone, kind of the average rooting zone depth. So we're going to be looking at what's coming out underneath the rooting zone on these plots. And in particular, we're interested in looking at both soils and vegetation to look what happens, to see what happens on this, in this very productive and species-rich forest over time, to hypothesize what might be the effects of base cation depletion or base cation removals on productivity and diversity over time. And that means that every 5 years or so, I get to go back to the woods and spend the summer sitting on the ground, digging holes, picking litter, doing all sorts of fun things. So with that, I'd be glad to take any questions. This is a quick romp through a very little bit of data. So it's just a tease. Thank you.
We have a couple minutes for questions.
Lindsay. Right. We do have some foliar nutrient data, and one of our cooperators, Jeff May at Marshall University, is looking at content. He's looking at retranslocation, those sorts of things. I don't have those data yet. Mark? Yes. Yeah, we should be able to. With the lysimeter data, we'll have to simulate or estimate output volume. But yeah, we can do that. So, and actually, Brittany has some in her presentation. Well, I don't know if you have in your presentation, but she, in her thesis, she has some of those budget information. So, Dale.
I assume the liming was with dolomite.
Yes. We haven't looked at it in the Furneaux watershed acidification study. We got a very mixed signal with potassium. We saw this nice clear pattern with calcium, and it was supported by other parts of the acidification study. Less so with magnesium, but we saw the same pattern. We didn't see it with didn't see a good clear signal with potassium. So we're looking at it, but we haven't seen that effect, at least on the acidification study. And I confess I've not looked at it yet on this one.
We're going to have to wrap up the questions. Thank Mary Beth for
presentation.
Thank you.